Good morning. What a joy to worship our great God with you. Thank you for having us, including us in this worship service. Let me begin with a question. Do you need rest? I mean, are you weighed down from 2 years of dealing with a global pandemic? Are you tired because you're constantly giving and not much receiving in return? Are you burdened because you suffer under your own deficiencies and sins? So again, let me ask you, are you looking for rest and peace? I trust many of us are. We are all constantly on the lookout for rest, for peace. But where? Where do you go for this? I think about it for a moment. I'm not looking for the clean, spiritually thought through Sunday morning answer. I'm looking for what is actually the place throughout the week, every day, where you are seeking rest. Are you seeking rest in an upcoming vacation? Are you seeking rest by turning on Netflix at night? Are you seeking rest in a glass of wine at night? Are you seeking rest by not getting out of bed in the morning? Oh, we can all get so confused as we are looking for rest. And ultimately, that's all frustrating because we won't find rest, not ultimately, in any of these places. True rest can only be found in Christ Jesus. Thus, we need to come to Him. And this brings us to our scripture passage for this morning. We'll be looking at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And listen as I read God's holy and inerrant word. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Before we think about God's word to us, let's turn to Him and speak to Him and ask Him in prayer to help us understand His word. Let me pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. What kindness that you haven't turned away from us, but that you have turned towards us. Thank you that you are a God who speaks words of life. And Lord, so we pray that you will speak even now. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. May you use your word to do good things in our hearts and lives. So we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we consider these three simple verses, really, I want to ask three even more simple questions, and we'll go through them. So that's my outline. Three questions we'll be going through. The third question will have 3 points. So if you're taking notes, don't be confused. We have 3 main points, and the third point has 3 sub-points. Okay? So first question is simple. Who is invited to come to Jesus? Who is invited to come to Jesus? Then the second question is, what does it actually mean to come to Jesus? What does it mean to come to Jesus? And then thirdly, why should we come to Jesus? Why should we come to Jesus? In all of this, I really want us to realize that we need to come and submit ourselves to the gentle lordship of Jesus Christ so that we can find the rest our souls are longing for. That's really the summary statement of this message. We all should come and submit to the gentle lordship of Christ Jesus so that we can find the rest our souls are longing for. So with this, let's turn to our first question. Who is invited to come to Jesus? And the answer is obvious. We find it right here at the beginning of verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. So it's a very, very broad invitation. Come to me, all. So in some way, no one is excluded. Come to me, all. Jesus is not just speaking to his disciples, not just speaking to his friends, not just speaking to a select group. He has actually just made very clear that there's only one way we can know him and we can know the Father. And he says the only way to know the Father is that if we come to him. Because he needs to show the Father to us. So if you want to know God the Father, come to me. That's what he's saying. Everyone is invited. All are invited to come. But there is one condition. Invited are all those who labor and are heavy laden. Or to put it in a different way, for those who have it all together, Christ has nothing to offer. The strong and self-sufficient won't bother to come to Jesus. Only those who labor, who are heavy laden, who are burdened, will come. Now, many are heavy laden. Many carry heavy loads. Just by virtue of living in a fallen world, we all have loads that are laying on us heavily. But I think Christ is not primarily speaking about the burdens we have in this life because it's a fallen world all around us. I think he's mainly speaking about the heavy load we carry because of the sin within. Just think of the original audience. The Jews he's speaking to here are Jews who are under the law. And Jesus has just explained what that really means. He has revealed a deeper understanding of the law. Just think of the Sermon on the Mount. And so these Jews realize we are called to live according to the law in all aspects. And for many, for those who are somewhat honest to themselves, this is an unbearable burden. That's a heavy load. And that's true for us too. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, obviously, many pretend that we are okay. Our only burdens are those laid upon us by others. We can try to talk ourselves out of the heavy burden of our own sins. But God, in his kindness, has given us a conscience. And as corrupted as it may be, it still does a trick. It will convict us. And we can try to move away and try to not think about it. It will get you. And you will be burdened. It will be a heavy load. And then we might want to think that, well, yes, there is this problem that I'm not what I'm supposed to be, but that's okay because God is very kind and forgiving. And yes, he is. But he is also a judge, a just judge. And that means if you come with your sin and you stand before him, you won't be able to get away from his judgment. We can downplay that again, and many are trying to revise their understanding of God, and they make him to be some strange God who is not just, but simply forgiving. But honestly, that only works as long as you're looking at other sins, at your own sins. It doesn't work if you look at other sins. If you look at those who have done evil to you, you long for a God who is just. We all do. We can't imagine a God who would just let sin go unpunished, the sin committed against us. And God indeed is just. And there is great comfort in this, that he will judge all evil. But it's also scary, because we are sinners. And so that causes us to have a heavy burden. And many labor and try to somehow get okay with God. These Jews Jesus is speaking to, they knew exactly what it means to labor and are heavy laden. They knew one day they will come to God's judgment. And if we know it or not, it will crush us unless we come to him. So that's the invitation. Come to him. If you know that you have a load that you can't carry, come to him. Let me just for a moment address the children here among us, especially you who have Christian parents. I trust growing up in a home with Christian parents can be quite burdensome. I mean, everyone expects you to be the good Christian kid. And your parents certainly expect that. We will follow the Lord. And so there is this law. You might not call it law. There are expectations laid upon you. And you might feel like this is crushing me. This is just too much. You might know in your heart it's very hard to always do what I'm asked to do. And you sometimes just don't want to do it. So you might try to escape. And honestly, I know so many children, teenagers, who have started to escape initially inwardly, still going along with parents to church, but inwardly starting to dismiss the face of their parents and trying to find some peace, some rest somewhere else. But let me tell you, based on my own experience as someone who has grown up in a nominally Christian home but not being truly converted, I looked for rest, I looked for joy, for peace, for fulfillment everywhere. I mean literally everywhere. And I can tell you, it didn't work. And it won't work for you. So let me invite you to really come to Jesus, to really get to know him. Listen to what Jesus has to say to you as we keep on reading and thinking about Jesus' own words. And then come to him, and you will find rest. So that's what Christ is offering. So he's inviting us to bring him our heavy load, the burden of our sin. Indeed, this is the sole purpose for which he came. God became man in Christ Jesus to live among us the perfect life we haven't lived. He alone never sinned. He alone fulfilled the law perfectly. He alone was absolutely good and loving. He alone did not need to fear God's judgment, because he alone had no burden of his own, no sin. But he came to take our heavy load upon himself. I forgot to ask Aaron ahead of time if you read last week Isaiah 53, a passage often read on Good Friday or even Easter Sunday. Just listen to three verses that will tell you how Christ is taking your heavy load upon himself. Prophet Isaiah speaks of Jesus and says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Do you see? Come to Jesus and bring him your heavy load. Come all who labor and are heavy laden. He will take it off you. He died for it on the cross. He paid the penalty. And then he rose again victorious over all sin. And he's a living God, and he's calling you now. Come to me. And that leads us to our second question. What does it mean? What does it mean to come to him? Now, for the Jews Jesus is speaking to there in Matthew 11, that just didn't mean to walk by and say hello, hi, Jesus, and then to go on. And in the same way, it doesn't mean for us to say, hi, Jesus, in a prayer, Lord, forgive me my sins, I want to be yours, goodbye. You know, that's one of the great lies that we are being told in so many churches these days. Come to Jesus simply means prayer, prayer. Just pay him a short visit. No. Jesus says, after he said, come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, that might not sound very appealing. Those who don't feel heavy laden will certainly not be interested in exchanging their felt liberty for a yoke. And even those who labor and are heavy laden might wonder why coming under someone's yoke should be the path to rest. So, friends, I think we need to realize that Christ's invitation is a real challenge. A real challenge, probably for pretty much everyone. So let's look a little bit more closely what Christ is really calling us to. He calls us, take my yoke upon you. And sometimes that has been portrayed in a way that Christ says, come and join me under my yoke, and I will do all the heavy lifting. And you might have heard this, that how under a yoke two oxen were put under yoke, and often there was a strong older oxen and a younger oxen, and the stronger oxen did really all the heavy lifting, and you're just called to come and join him a little bit under this. Now, the idea is not completely wrong, but that's not what Christ is talking about. Because in verse 30, Jesus describes his yoke as light and easy. And we know the burden Jesus had to carry was not light and easy. Now, when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he is calling us to come under him. We are not joining him under a yoke. We are actually coming under his yoke. Christ is calling us to surrender our felt freedom. He's calling us to voluntarily opt to becoming his servant. In other words, Jesus says, come to me and let me be your Lord. Accept me as your Lord. Come under my yoke. Be my servant. Now, naturally, we don't like this idea. Yeah, and we all want to be free. We want to be in charge. We are happy for Jesus to be our helper, especially if we understand the predicament we are in as sinners who one day will face a holy and just God. Then certainly we like Jesus to be our Savior. But Jesus says, come to me. Experiencing me as Savior means come under my yoke. Now, I fear we often treat Jesus, even we Christians, often treat Jesus like a service provider, whom you're happy to hire to perform a certain service. And once he has done what you asked him to do, you will go off and do your own thing. Can you relate? I mean, you don't need to nod too much so that it's not too embarrassing, but can you relate? Jesus, great service provider, sure, like your service, thank you for saving me, and now I'm off on my own. And Jesus said, that's not how it works. Take my yoke upon you. And then he says, and learn from me. Now again, we are happy to have Jesus as our advisor. We love his many good suggestions he gives us in his word. In my former life in the business world, I used to be a consultant. You all know how that works. You get hired to work hard. We developed improvement and restructuring plans. We came up with all kinds of suggestions. And then we went to those who hired us and presented wonderful long PowerPoint presentations and gave them all our good ideas. And they looked at it and they said, thank you very much. We might take them or leave them. We'll see. And again, I fear sometimes we treat Jesus just like that. He is a really good consultant. And we are happy to listen to a lot of good advice he's giving. But ultimately, we like to reserve the right to decide which advice we're taking and where we might have a different idea, because we don't like what he has to say. But Christ expects us to listen, to learn from him. And he is a teacher who teaches with authority. He is not a teacher who is happy for us to once in a while listen in a little bit. Now he calls us, come under my yoke and learn from me. Because he knows that we, like sheep, have gone astray. We need to be redirected. We need a good Lord. And he knows that we are foolish. So we need to come and listen and learn from him. And that's what he does through his word, which he has given to us so that we can be taught and reproved and corrected. And he has encouraged in many other things. So Christ is ultimately calling us to lay aside our pride, to humble ourselves, to come under him, to accept him as our Lord, as our King, to come under his yoke, and to accept him as the prophet who speaks with authority, as our teacher. So we need to listen. Honestly, if we have come to him in any other way, if we have come to him but not really surrendered to his lordship, not really accepted him as the authoritative teacher, then we haven't really come to him. Because to come to him means to take his yoke upon you and to learn from him. Now, I assume most of us have come to him. Most of us have surrendered our lives to him. And yet, if you are anything like me, if you have been a Christian for a number of years, you might have started to grow a bit more independent again. You are not always asking him what he wants you to do. You might not be as attentive anymore in listening to what he has to teach you. You might think, I know it all. And again, I'm not speaking down on you, because that's me. I know that I have the tendency to kind of walk a little bit away from my Lord and to listen a little bit less. And you know what, always the same result. It's always the same result. I become burdened and restless. I think oftentimes we are burdened because we're simply thinking the wrong thoughts. And then we get frustrated. I can tell you, I got so frustrated with the COVID pandemic. So frustrated. Things were going well at church, and then COVID hit. So frustrating. I can get really frustrated when I look at the state of the church in Germany. Just this past week, two friends of mine, two pastors, two of very few faithful pastors, emailed me while I was here in the States to tell me they're probably getting fired just for preaching the Bible. Oh, it's frustrating. It's crushing. I had one night in my hotel room during this conference where I was desperate. But then I needed to be reminded, come to Christ. He is in control. He is the Lord. He has everything under control. I need to learn again, listen again. I will build my church, Matthias. Stop worrying about it. I have the corona pandemic under control, and I'm actually using it for something good. You might not know what, but trust me. Again, can you relate? Are you burdened? Burdened because things in your life don't work out the way you would like them to work out? Some tough things that are happening to you? Crush. Come to him. Learn from him. Come to this Lord who invites you. And that leads us already into our third point. Why? Why should we come to Jesus? Jesus gives us three very, very good reasons why we should come to him, why we should submit, surrender to his lordship. And not just once, but time and again. The first thing we need to understand is who it is who is calling us under his lordship. Or rather, how he is. We see this in the second half of verse 29. Jesus says, beginning verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Who has ever known a Lord like this? Gentle and lowly. Or gentle and humble in heart, as other translations put it. I mentioned before that before I became a pastor, I worked in business. And my last boss was a disaster. He was corrupt, he was rude, he was in it only for his own benefit. But in God's kindness, I had really, really good bosses, other than this last guy. I remember Jerry. My first boss in Washington, D.C., Dr. Jeremiah Murphy. He died recently. Oh, what a wonderful boss. He taught me so many good things. He was really investing in me. One lesson, just from a business guy, whenever I got really frustrated with things and couldn't work it out, he said, Matthias, he meant mentally, not physically, but take a few steps back and look at it again. Oh, that was good advice. That's even good Christian advice sometimes. Or Alan. He was a wonderful boss who knew I was in seminary while working full-time and who just wanted to make sure that I'm giving enough attention to my family. As my business boss. I had great bosses. I'm so grateful for them. But you know what? None of them was a taskmaster like the Lord Jesus, who is gentle and lowly. Friends, that's worth dwelling on. And so I can highly recommend Dane Ortlund's book, Gentle and Lowly. When Aaron and I talked about this passage, we both immediately thought of this book and thought, make that the title. Today, I think the title should be different. Come to me, but gentle and lowly, that is worth dwelling upon. So just think about Jesus. Here he is, the God-man, living this perfect life among us and being rejected and despised. And instead of saying, go away from me, go to hell, he sees all these sinners, all these rebels, people like you and me, and says, come to me. Give me your burden, and I will give you rest. What a kind Lord. He described his own attitude as the one who is Lord of all. In Mark 10, verse 45, when he says, even the Son of Man, he himself came not to be served. And he surely, surely could have expected us to serve him. But he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He always looked away from himself. He was so obviously more concerned with our well-being than with his own. And most of all, he was completely submitted to his Father's will. So because the Father sent him to die in our place, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, for this reason he was willing to give his life. He is so gentle and lowly. He humbled himself, as Paul later put it in Philippians 2. The one who was in form of God, who was in the form of God, who was God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. I mean, he is fully God. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He took on flesh, being born in the likeness of man. What humility, what gentleness for holy God to come to us and become man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even a shame-filled death on a cross. Do you see this Lord who's calling you? He is so gentle and lowly. I hope you know this Lord. You don't need to be afraid of him. When you realize I'm burdened because of all my sin, you don't need to be afraid of him as he would be as if he is a mean teacher or a nasty boss calling us, come to me, to hand us a bad report card or to tell us you're fired. He is gentle and lowly. Come to him. My hope is that you are shocked by his kindness, by his gentleness, by his love. If we understand how he is, who he is, we will come to him. And Christian friend, if you are talking to non-Christians, and I hope you do, about your Lord, I hope you are not just simply calling people to repent and believe, but I hope you are helping them to see the goodness of your Lord. Parents, I hope that's what you are doing with your children. Help them to see you marvel at Christ Jesus, his gentleness. And live it out in front of your children. Teach them about this good Lord. So the first reason why we should come to him, because he is gentle and lowly in heart. Secondly, Jesus reminds us of what he has to offer. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. I mean, that's what all men are looking for. Humankind is looking for rest. When God created this world and everything was very good, God rested. There was perfect rest. There were no burdens. There was no heavy load. But then men sinned, turned away from God. And the result of our sin, the sin of our forefathers, and all of our sin, is that we lost rest. The great rest we were made for has been lost. Ever since, people have been looking for rest. And we are looking in all kinds of places. And I mentioned a few of my questions at the beginning. I need a vacation. I need rest. And you come home and you realize it didn't do it. I need stuff, luxury, that will allow me more rest. I need alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever. It just doesn't do the trick. Because the rest has been lost. And for this reason, God sent his one beloved Son into this world to bring us rest. Christ came. He says, come to me. I am the source of rest. You won't find rest anywhere else. Rest for your souls can only be found in him. So come to him. And we find rest in him as we turn to him and get to know him and start seeing the world through his eyes as we read God's word. We will find peace. We'll come to a place of rest. Because we are still in the flesh, this rest isn't perfect and complete, but there is rest to be found in Christ Jesus. And he came to bring us eternal rest. So one day when he comes again, everyone who has come to him will enter his perfect eternal rest. Friend, that is what your soul is longing for. If you know it or not, you were created for this rest. Come to him, because you will find rest in him and only in him. And that leads us to our third reason why we should come to him. It's the nature of the yoke he's calling us under. So we read in verse 30, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, often people don't come to Jesus because they fear that they will come under a heavy yoke. We tend to get it all wrong. We think that our burdens aren't that heavy and his yoke is really heavy. And so I rather stay here with all my issues, all my sin, all the struggles, all the burdens, everything that's wrong, because I think that might be just the better choice. But do you see the options? He says, those who labor and are heavy laden, those who are being crushed, are offered to come to him and come under his yoke. And he says, and my yoke, by the way, is easy. My burden is light. So he takes your heavy burden and he gives you his light burdens. Coming under his lordship really is not burdensome at all. It is freeing. We sang of this earlier. We know that Christ has set us free for freedom. Life under his yoke is really the way to be freed. And yet sometimes it will require some caring on our part. And we know that is true. Following him doesn't mean that everything is always just smooth sailing. No, he's calling us to deny ourselves, take upon us a cross, and to follow him. But we need to understand what that means. I give you a little picture, a story, something that just recently happened to me. I was traveling with my daughter, and we were carrying heavy luggage, and I saw her next to me, poor little Anna Maria, carrying a really heavy bag. But I had a heavy bag too, and so we walked through the airport, and you know, these days you travel cheap and you can't check in luggage anymore, right? So you carry everything. So she is carrying, and at one point I see her and I hand her my water bottle that I was carrying. And she looked at me in shock. Like, Daddy, don't you see that's already too heavy? Now you want me to carry your bottle? That's how we often look at Jesus when he says, come to me, come under my yoke. But then she realized I had handed her my water bottle so that she could be refreshed and so that my hand could be freed so that I could take her luggage. Now, that's an imperfect picture. God always has free hands. But I trust you get what I'm getting at. He is giving us something that, yes, in a way, we might need to carry, but it's for our best. So even the burden he puts upon us is for our best. And he takes us a heavy load, a load that will crush us. So whatever he lays on you, just remember the words of Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Even your burdens, the ones he gives you, will be for your best. So will you come? Everyone needs to make a choice. You're all serving someone. Whom will you serve? Friends, there's no one like Jesus, who is gentle and lowly in heart, who will give us rest for our souls, and whose yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you're here today and you have never really come to him, let me urge you one more time. Come to him. Let me assure you, it will radically change your life. I know what I'm talking about. I came to him age 26. For a while I was concerned that there would be a heavy yoke and I would not lose much until God kindly showed me the extent of my sin, the real heavy load I was under, and opened my eyes to see Jesus in his gentleness, his kindness. And it has changed my life completely. And it's good. I can assure you will only find true life, true purpose, true love, true peace, true rest as you come to him. Come to him. If you have questions about this, speak to Aaron, speak to me, speak to the friend who brought you today. But don't go home. Please. Please don't go home carrying your heavy load. Just don't do it. Come to him. And dear Christian friend, let me ask you, how are you doing? Does your soul rest in these great truths? Now, honestly, aren't we far too often weary and burdened? Aren't we in the midst of our labors heavy laden? As I said in the beginning, I assume that many of us are in need of rest. After all, we do live in a sinful world, and it burdens us. So let's come to Christ, who has overcome this world. Come to Him. Find rest in Him. And we Christians still live in a sinful flesh that we are still battling. Come to Him. Come to Him. That's my encouragement. That's really all I wanted to say to you today. Take some time this afternoon. Make concrete plans about how you can build in time into your daily schedule to come to Him. Come to Him in prayer. Bring Him what burdens you and let Him speak to you. Come to Him and confess your sins that are surely the heaviest burden we are all carrying. Listen to this good, gentle, lowly Lord and teacher, and He will give you rest. So one more time, hear as Jesus speaks to you. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. Let me pray with us. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son. Thank You, Jesus, for coming to us, humbling Yourself, leaving the eternal glory to come into this fallen world with all our burdens. Thank You that You labored on our behalf. Thank You that You lived the life we should have lived and died the death we would have deserved. Thank You that You are so humble, so lowly in heart. And thank You that You have taken the load of our sin and brought it to the cross. Lord, I pray that if anyone here in this room hasn't come to You, hasn't really surrendered to Your gentle and kind Lordship, I pray that he, that she might do it today. Lord, open the eyes of the heart of this poor man and woman, that they may see You in all Your glory and kindness and goodness, so that they may come to You. Draw them to You, we pray. And Lord, I pray for us who have come to You. Lord, forgive us that we so often then turn away from You and go our own ways again. Or help us to be people who turn to You time and again. Help us to come to You. Thank You for the reminder that You are such a gentle and lowly in heart Savior and Lord. Thank You that we can find rest for our souls. So I pray for those among us who are in particular need of rest. I pray that they will come to You and find it in You. Thank You that Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. We praise You for this. Amen.